This is the Big Alaska Show on News Talk 103.7 FM and 750 AM, KFQD.
It's time to think big with Big Alaska guests, Big Alaska adventures, and no good lying through your two tall Alaska tails. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Big Alaska Show.
All Alaska.
Big Alaska Show. Coming to you from the studios of 750 KFQD 103.7 FM and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steven, some Big Alaska Show friends. Today we celebrate our Big Alaska Show Iditarod Special Edition. It's mushers, volunteers, enthusiasts, educators, and visiting friends celebrating one and all. And a no-good lying through your two tall Alaska tail, it's the Big Alaska Show! Steve,
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Excellent. Well, hey, I'm on the road going to the ceremonial start, and then we're going to Fairbanks, my brother. It's only about, 20 or 30 below there. I haven't checked the weather yet.
You got your red long johns with the back door trap?
Yeah, the back door trap is shut. It's going to remain that way. I'm just going to ignore peer pressure.
Well, there you go. Was that pressure or prune pressure?
It's where pull my finger becomes a hazard.
Yes.
This is one of my favorite times of the year. People, if you're listening to the Big Alaska Show, you need to go downtown. The Iditarod kicks off at 10 o'clock this morning. We're coming to you live from the studios with Mike Ford. I'm Uncle Steve. And you went to the Mushers Banquet. How was that?
That was a blast. Saw a lot of great people and reconnected with folks I haven't seen in a long time.
For those of you tuning in who are going to be our friends from outside of Alaska, what this is an event where the mushers come and they draw their starting positions for the start of the Iditarod, and they're able to thank their sponsors, and it's a big banquet, and people come from all over the world, Mike, to see this event.
Oh, it was neat.
Mike went and did some interviews with a number of people, some of the mushers, to give us an inside, more behind the scenes, a little bit more about these people. And then you interviewed this young woman from Chicago, the educator. Tell us about her a little bit, Mike.
Well, Annie is a teacher. She's a grade school teacher at a Catholic school in Chicago, and she's been following the Iditarod for a number of years, and she's applied to be the teacher on the trail. It's a thing that ExxonMobil's done for a number of years. And so basically, she was chosen, and she's just very excited, and she's going to keep in touch with us along the trail. And if you go to the Big Alaska Show Facebook page, Annie, of course, also teaches Irish dancing, Uncle Steve. And you can see her doing a little jig there on the Big Alaska Show Facebook page. This will be the first time she hasn't been in Chicago on St. Patrick's Day. And she plans to do a little Irish dance under the Burled Arch on Front Street Nome. And since we didn't know if we'd have the Big Alaska Show camera online by then, under the Burled Arch in Front Street Nome, we went ahead and had her do a little demonstration for us, and you can see that on the Big Alaska Show Facebook page.
Well, you know, with all the economic cuts we've been experiencing, we just thought we would catch her.
That's right.
You also caught up with some Big Alaska Show guest tourists, some visiting from outside, along with our good buddy from John Hall's Alaska Cruises and Tours, John T. Gailey, which you caught up with. And what a cast of characters that is.
Oh, it was a fun time. They came up, and I met the folks from Wisconsin, and we'll play that one coming up here next week, I think. And they're just a couple of characters. Even though John Gailey was driving their bus, they've been back two or three times. That's the part that amazed me the most.
Hey, it's always an adventure to go with John E. Gailey at John Hall's Alaska Cruises and Tours. And that's one of the best Iditarod tours that I've heard about, you know, compared to some of these larger tour companies. They're willing to do things to make it a real Alaskan experience. And you went and met with some of the top mushers, some of the Iditarod champs. And I think one of the things that really struck me about all these mushers, Mike, what a heart they have, not for just their dogs and the passion for the Iditarod, but they go out and they help their community.
That's
in
right.
So many ways.
They take the notoriety that the world-famous Iditarod has brought to them, and they translate it into community action, Uncle Steve.
And you also caught up with Adele, who's going to be singing the national anthem and the Alaska flag song at the start. Lovely voice. You got a little taste of that for us. Thank you so much. And by the way, I posted on the BigAlaskaShow.com Facebook a picture of the frozen pipes when we sang at the start a few years back. We would be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way, right?
Absolutely, Uncle Steve.
Yeah, well, let's kick back.
You got yours in the thermos,
yep.
Right? There you go.
Yeah, it's...
You're going to eat a hole through the thermos.
There's no vessel that holds it.
Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially a Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's the preferred coffee for Iditarod mushers. It takes a lot of work to run the Iditarod, and mushers go for days with very little sleep. But just one sip of caffeine-packed Big Alaska Show Blend, and mushers won't get any sleep and only need one dog. And one taste says it all. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Anyway, that's how we roll in the Big Alaska Show. We, as my mama used to say, if you can't dazzle them with fancy footwork, just get real. We have it all here. Plus, we've got a true, no good, lying through your tooth, tall Alaska tale here on the Big Alaska Show at AM 750 KFQD 103.7 FM. And we're streamed worldwide at KFQD.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford, along with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts. From purchase to window installation, visit Alaska's best Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve. On the road, it's ceremonial start downtown, 4th Avenue, starts at 10 o'clock this morning, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, we're going up to Fairbanks, where the restart will take place Monday. But today is our Big Alaska Show, Iditarod Special Edition, featuring interviews with some of the mushers and other people you'll meet along the trail that come to the Iditarod. And my good buddy Mike Ford went to the mushers' banquet and got a little more insight who some of these people are. So, Mike, why don't you hit it and let's hear it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Well, way up in Alaska, the state that stands alone, does the dog race run from Anchorage in the Nome? And it's a grueling race with a lightning pace, where the chilly winds do wail. Beneath the northern lights, cross snow and the ice, and it's called the Iditarod Trail. We'll give me a team and a good lead dog, a sled that's built so fine, and let me race those miles to Nome 1049. Then when I get back to my home, hey, I can tell my tale. I did the Iditarod Trail.
We're talking with 16-time finisher and Quist winner.
Yes.
Yes. Allie Zirkle, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
You're looking forward to going to Nome?
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think the dogs are looking forward to it more than me.
It's about time to get out there, huh?
It is. You know, you always come. This banquet is fantastic. It really is. It shows how much the sport means to Alaska and everyone outside of Alaska. So this is fun. Friday is a little bit of a down day, and then Saturday is... Oh, my goodness. Hold them back because they're ready to run, but they're doing 11 miles downtown, and then it's the show.
How has the strategy changed now that you're leaving from Fairbanks?
Well, you know, you're still just going to be able to race your team. I mean, that's the bottom line. Just like any kind of sports team, you know, you got to run your team, your race. So I think we're going to have to take into account the new trail, which is different mileage, and you're going to have to take into account how much snow is out there. Is it going to be a hard, fast trail, or is it going to be a really punchy, snowy trail? And then after you know those things, you're going to have to then put them to what your dog team can do. And that's going to be the trickiest part, but I'm up for it. So
you have also started to work on helping end violence in Alaska with the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Tell us about that project.
Well, that's kind of... Basically, for 20-plus years, I've been traveling through villages and in and around Alaska, lived in villages. And the heart and soul of Alaska and the rest of the world are the kids. They really are. I mean, and I've always wondered how a dog musher like me, you know, I have a certain amount of celebrity in the world or in Alaska, how I could ever help some of the kids out there. And so I ran across this program. It's called Lead On. And basically what it's doing, it's bringing some kids in from Bush, Alaska, you know, villages like Ruby, Galena, Ketchikan, like all across Alaska. And they're bringing them into Anchorage. And then they're just basically teaching these kids, you know, social programs that are going to help them. And there aren't those social programs out in rural Alaska that we have in the rest of the world and in Anchorage and Fairbanks and that kind of thing. So I think it really, the more we put into our youth, the better our world's going to be. So I'm excited about it.
And you can go to andvsa.org.
Correct. You can go there. You can learn about it. And then it's called the Lead On Conference. It happens in November. There's going to be a whole bunch of kids in from the village. We don't know who those kids are yet. So hopefully when I travel down the trail, I can, I don't know, convince a few kids to come into Anchorage in November and kind of improve themselves and go back and improve their community.
Well, I know there's a lot of folks looking forward to seeing that red hat come under the burled arch first.
Those folks and myself. So there you go.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Warmer is better, especially when it comes to windows.
So says Jeff King. Well, you're looking for number five.
Yeah, and I love Iditarod. I'm looking for my 27th completion of the race, and I'd love to get number five.
And how has the move to Fairbanks changed any strategy, if it has at all?
Oh, it has a lot. Fairbanks start really changes the technical sled handling needs of the musher. Now it's more of a run-rest itinerary, and strategy is in how long they go, how much they rest. And on Flat River, it's different than when we go over the mountain. So I'm looking forward to having a plan that will maximize my dog's abilities.
All of your girls are full grown, and they've done the junior Iditarod.
My oldest daughter has ran the Iditarod as well as the junior Iditarod. Callie ran in the first year we had a Fairbanks start, I believe 2001. And I have my youngest daughter coming back to work for us this year. She's starting to show interest in participating in the Iditarod as well. She'll be racing the Kobuk 440 with me this coming year.
Keeping the family tradition going.
Well, I hope so, you know, but they got to want it, and that's where we're headed right now.
Any other thoughts before I let you get back to actually eating your dinner?
Looking forward to a wonderful weekend here in Anchorage, and then I'm ready to buckle down and get serious for my 27th Iditarod.
All right, I'm going to let you buckle down on that steak.
Thank you very much.
And we're talking with Kristen Bacon. Hi.
Hi.
You're on your way to Nome, and what are your thoughts?
Well, yes, Nome is the final destination, and we're ready. I think we've done our time getting trained, and I think the dogs are ready. I'm more ready than I was last year anyway, and I'm starting to get excited.
Coming from being a physical therapist, when you work with your dogs, You have a different perspective.
I'm sure that I do. When I first started working with dogs, because I knew physical therapy with kids better than I knew dogs, and I work with kids with special needs. So I do think that I have a team of very special dogs, and they have unique needs. And so I feel like I am more patient and accepting of their specialness than maybe some other people would be with dogs that aren't, you know, the perfect ones. I think they're perfect. They're perfect for me and they're great. But, you know, you adapt and you modify and you see what they need to do their best. And so I think that perspective is a little bit different maybe than people have, because I'm used to finding the best situation and the just right challenge, you know, finding a way that a dog can do their best.
Tell us about the program where you get to give rides to kids with special needs.
So yesterday we did our fifth annual Iditarod, and we team up with High Country Kennels. I'm the physical therapist of that gig, and they do the dog thing. So I advertise around the state for kids to come, and we spend the afternoon from 12 to 5 giving free rides for kids with special needs. It's a blast. It's so much fun and a really good distraction for me.
Makes you see what's really important, doesn't it?
Yes, for sure. I debated whether to do it because this week is just so packed and it gets a little crazy and exhausting, but it's 5 hours of the day. I don't think anything about the race, and I watch those kids and the families. They're so grateful, and they're laughing, and they're having so much fun, and it really, it's fantastic.
So when it is 35 or 40 below and you're going out of Fairbanks, I want you to think about those kids.
Oh, I'll be really glad that they're not there, because it would be really cold. And I'm hoping for myself that it isn't 35 below. I do have a giant pile of clothes ready to see how many I can put on for the start of the race, because I've never actually run dogs in that cold of weather. My mushing career is short. It's been about 5 years. And we haven't had weather that cold for races. I don't train when it's that cold, because who really wants to go out when it's 35, 40 below? So we, after about 25 below, we don't train. I don't like to expose the dogs unnecessarily to that or myself. Maybe now I will rethink that. Depends how the race goes, I guess.
Especially if we keep having real winters in Alaska, right?
Right. This is a winter that I haven't seen yet. So,
anybody you want to do a shout out to here as we go on the big Alaska show?
Gosh, there's so many people that have helped me make this happen, and it's a small army, truly, that helps me get to the starting line. It's something I have to say up there too. You know, it's just I couldn't do it by myself. It really takes that small army of people that love and support me, and it's been, you know, a huge part of making it happen.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Nice job, Mike.
What a bunch of fun people, too, you know, just real.
And you did a really good job of finding some things about these people that we don't get to know about. And we've got more of them coming up. Plus, we'll have a No Good Lion Through Your Tooth Tall Alaska Tale here on the Big Alaska Show at AM 750 KFQD, 103.7 FM, or streamed at KFQD.com. And we'll have a podcast up at BigAlaskaShow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford, along with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts from purchase to installation. You can visit Alaska's best at Neighbors Windows and Doors, 6251 Tunnel, or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And I just posted on BigAlaskaShow.com on the Facebook the little TV spot that Jeff King did for Neighbors Windows and Doors. And it's a delightful little commercial. You can go to BigAlaskaShow.com, go to their Facebook, and you'll see our ridiculous stuff. One of the guys that we like to have on our show on a pretty regular basis, and he's real busy right now, is John T. Gailey is with John Hall's Alaska Cruises and Tours. And they're taking about 60 people overall in their little expedition, and they'll follow the Iditarod, and they do a bunch of stuff along the way. You caught up with him, didn't you, Mike?
I did. Would you like to hear that?
I would like to hear that.
All right, let's play that now.
the Mushers Banquet underway, and it wouldn't be complete if we didn't get a chance to talk with John Gailey of John Hall's Alaska.
Oh, that's us. Oh, and we're having some fun now.
It only took me 20 minutes to find you. You're over there waving. You should. If you hit me with your bus, it would have found me sooner.
Well, it's entirely. I tried to get it through the front door, but they're kind of frowning on that. They want me to go in the back door. I'm just not a back door kind of guy.
So tell me about the trip.
Oh, we're doing great. It started out, actually, today was the first day of touring. We went up to the Muskox Farm in Palmer, and that was great. They do a great service for us and everybody else that goes up there. Had a great lunch at the Palmer City Ale House, a new one for me, and that was phenomenal. And then we're back here for the Mushers Banquet, and then tomorrow we're on our way down to Alyeska. Got most of the group is going to be on snowmobiles, going up doing the Snow City Glacier trip, including me. I haven't been on a sled in a little while myself. And then we're back here. And then, of course, we've got the ceremonial start Saturday morning, and they're going to be real excited with that. And at that point, about 2 o'clock or so, we're going to start heading for Talkeetna. And then, of course, with the restart up in Fairbanks, we'll launch out of Talkeetna Sunday morning, and actually Sunday late morning, and kind of make an easy start, get us into Fairbanks so we can get that. And then the rest of our time in Fairbanks, we'll fly into Tanana as part of the race, and that's what we're really looking forward to. Kind of up in the air right now as to what's next. We're scheduled to drive up to the Arctic Circle, but with the road conditions on the Dalton as well as the Elliott Highway, we're kind of holding back on that. DOT's given us some real good information, so we're going to make that call probably Saturday as to whether or not we're going to try and make the drive to the Circle or if we're just going to fly in. And I think we're leaning towards flying them in. But that adventure road is always there. And then a couple of nights at Chena Hot Springs and just watching the aurora. Yeah, it's kind of exciting.
It's a tough life, John.
I know. My wife tells me all the time, you know, you don't work, you go on vacation. Like, no, honey, I work. I promise. Somewhere.
You try not to smile when the pictures are be taken that she's going to see, right?
I try to look miserable. You know, it's kind of hard when you're out there with a bunch of great folks from all over the U.S., and we've got a few foreigners with us as well, and that just makes it all the better. You know, and it's such a great event. You know, we're all involved with the Iditarod and have been for years, so we're real excited to have a new group coming in. We actually have two groups this year, and it looks like we're going to have maybe three next year. So it's really growing. The interest in the Iditarod has grown so much. And then when we can tie that in with the aurora viewing that we've had, it's just phenomenal. Just makes a great trip to Alaska. Finally, in the winter.
Yeah, we're finally getting an Alaskan winter, and everybody's enjoying it.
I know. It's just kind of scary. You know, wait a minute. Is it always this cold? I don't know. I got to look in the archives. It's been a while.
I didn't check. What is Fairbanks' temperature right now?
It's chilly, Willie. It's down 30 below, 40 below. Yeah, it's a little cold, a little frosty around the edges. But, you know, that's good. That's good. We can deal with that. It's the wind that's always the issue, so we'll see how that works out for us. But it'll be good. We're really excited about it.
How many folks do you have up here with you this time?
I've got 27 on my group, and our other group has 34. So we try to keep them on the smaller side, because if we do drive up to the Arctic Circle and something mechanical goes wrong, it's a lot easier to rescue unless we've got a full group of 40 or more. It can be a little tough to get a rescue going to get us out of trouble. So we're very cognizant of that. We've got a lot of great partners up in Fairbanks that are all on board just in case.
See, that really makes it seem like an adventure when the word rescue is thrown into the sentence, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we might have to be rescued. You never know. We'll see a dog team go by. Maybe they'll pull us out of the ditch.
Always great to see you, John.
You too. You too, Mike.
Hey, we need a rescue every week.
We provide the wobbly wheel here at the Big Alaska Show, the longest mistaken radio show in Alaska's history. Oh, man. John T. Gailey is an ambassador for Alaska. He drives the bus, one of the buses, John Hall's Alaska Cruises and Tours, and they are turnkey. You know, it's like the bedside manner of a doctor that you like. That's the kind of service they provide. Next week, we'll have some interviews of some of the people who've gone with them, and they're hilarious, Mike.
And they keep coming back, even though John drives their bus.
Hey, listen, man, you can take the same road with John every time, and it's a different adventure. It's a different story. It's just fantastic to have on it. I want to do a big shout-out to our good buddy, Dr. Gordon Snyder, our science expert that we have on a regular basis. His daughter, Brooke, and boyfriend, Brooklyn, can you believe that? Brooke and Brooklyn flew up here last night, and they're staying near downtown, and they're taking in the Iditarod. So we want to do a big shout-out to Dr. Gordon Snyder and Chris Snyder.
Sounds like a morning show, Brooke in Brooklyn.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're just wonderful. So big shout out to them. Mike, you also went on and you interviewed more mushers, and let's jump into that.
Well, way up in Alaska, the state that stands alone, there's a dog race run from Anchorage in the Nome. And it's a grueling race with a lightning pace, where the chilly winds do wail. Beneath the northern lights, cross snow and the ice, and it's called the Iditarod Trail. We'll give me a team and a good lead dog, and a sled that's built so fine, and let me race those miles to Nome 1049. Then when I get back to my home, hey, I can tell my tale. I did the
Iditarod Trail. D.D. John Rowe, start number 35, 16 top tens. What's this year look like to you?
Well, this year looks like we could possibly return to that top 10. You know, I've had the last 3 years some really difficult times, and the Iditarod has not been my priority. It's been my my relief. You know, it's been the best thing that's happened in my life, but it could not be my priority. Both of my parents have died in the last 3 years, and I was their primary caregiver, and it was my privilege, but it was very difficult. And in the midst of that, you know, the Sockeye fire came through and burnt all of us out. And that was 40 years, you know, of things. So my priority was saving my dogs and saving my husband, and in the meantime, he's lost, had to have his knee replaced and his wrist fused. So, you know, their family comes before events. But I love this race, and this year I've been able to concentrate on it. I've had some really good help at home. Courtney and Derek have been phenomenal, and you know, they're new at this, and I'm running dogs, unraced dogs, but they're not really young. They're 3 and 4 years old, but because of my circumstances, I haven't been able to give them a lot of training, and this year they got a lot of training, and they've been really super. I'm really excited about them.
After the fire, was it overwhelming how the community came together for you?
You know, when I first looked at an 8-foot hole in the ground with 3 inches of ash, that had been my two-story house with all my belongings in it, you know. I kind of wondered, is this what Armageddon is like, you know? And everything is burnt away. It doesn't really matter. And only people are left, because I still had my mom. And then 4 weeks later, I lost my mom, who's been my best friend in my whole life. And I got to say, I was pretty devastated, you know, and it, I really had to dig deep. And I had to. Mike had to have his knee replaced, his wrist fused. There just wasn't anything but to, you know, dig deep and go step by step. And, you know, this year, I'm really, really, really looking forward to getting out on the trail and seeing people I love and running a new team and just seeing what we're going to do.
You're an inspiration, and we love you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
We're speaking with Laura Neese, born in Ohio. You have an associate's degree in veterinary technology, and you've been mushing dogs in the UP there in Michigan. What does it mean to be running your first Iditarod?
It's exciting. It's been a goal of mine since I was 9, so it's been, yeah, it's here. It's been a long time coming.
So you started out with goats?
I did start with goats. It was when I turned 5, that was the thing I needed for my birthday, a goat. So started with goats. We went from 1 goat to the herd of 25, and then from there to sled dogs.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So do you think with your veterinary skills and insights that you look at dogs and training dogs differently than folks that might not have that background?
Yeah, I think it definitely helps in some instances just to know a little bit more of how the dogs function internally. And yeah, definitely think it's a help.
Do you have a favorite person that you're following on this race? Is there anybody that's inspired you?
A lot of mushers have over the years. I've followed Aidera Ed for, 12 years now? So yeah, there have been a lot of different mushers over the years that have just stood out and really been inspirational to me. So it's cool to be here and sharing the trail with them this year.
And any hopes other than just making it under the Burled Arch?
To run my team to the best of their ability and get to Nome in the fastest time we can with a healthy dog team.
Awesome. Laura, congratulations and good luck.
Thank you.
So we're talking with Ryan Reddington. What does it mean to have your name on this trail, to be out on part of this trail that your grandpa founded?
I'm very excited. I think it is very important to carry on the family tradition. I can't wait to be out there on the trail and seeing how, getting into the race and seeing how well we could do. I got a pretty good team, and I got two brothers in the race as well that I think are both going to have a good race, and it's pretty exciting.
Now, you ran the World Championships a little while back. How did you enjoy that?
Yeah, 6 years ago I ran the Rondi, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And one day I will definitely come back and race the Rondi again.
What's your son's name?
Thomas Joseph, after both my grandpas.
And 15 months old.
Yeah, and I think he loves dogs, and I think it would be pretty cool if he carried on the family tradition of mushing, but I'm not going to push it on him.
How's going from Fairbanks, how's that going to be different for the way you've trained this year?
Well, I think it's going to be different for all of us. There's a lot of snow, wind-blown trail, and I think the trail gets better at Ruby, but it's going to be a lot more snow than I trained in Wisconsin this winter, so not a lot of snow, but but I do got a good dog team, and I'm excited to be out there.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I did. One thing I'd like to add on to that interview of Dee Dee Jonro, including all of that stuff that's been piled on her, throw in on top of that, she was running the Iditarod not that long ago, why she was on chemotherapy, doing chemo.
Look up the word tough in the dictionary, and there's the smiling picture of the pink cuspect Dee Dee Jonro.
You bet. You talk about the spirit. That's Alaska. Now, we've always joked about this. The reason there's so many guys in Alaska is the quality of the Alaska woman, and that is exemplified in Dee Dee Jonro, that we have such a deep love and respect for Dee Dee Jonro and her spirit and how she inspires all those people around her. Just a true, true champion, man. I'll tell you, wonderful interview, Mike. We've got a couple more right here. Why don't we jump right into those as well?
All right, here we go.
Well, way up in Alaska, the state that stands alone, there's a dog race run from Anchorage to Nome. And it's a grueling race with a lightning pace, where the chilly winds do wail. Beneath the northern lights, cross snow and the ice, and it's called the Iditarod Trail. We'll give me a team and a good lead dog, a sled that's built so fine, and let me race those miles to Nome 1049. Then when I get back to my home, hey, I can tell my tale. I did the Iditarod Trail.
Dallas Seavey going for big number 5.
Going for the next one. It doesn't matter what number it is. It's the next race in front of us. We've been training for the next race, and now the race is here. So we're going to go out there and make good decisions day after day and see what happens.
Starting in Fairbanks, how's that change your strategy at all?
Well, I'm going to be going to different locations. My strategy is to run the dog team in front of me on the trail that we're on. And so when the trail changes, sure, we're going to be running a different race, but it's not like I had some strategy set in stone, some master plan. The plan is to run your team, and you do that on the trail that you're on. So making those decisions, again, hour by hour, minute by minute, trying to make the best call for our dog team.
So now when you haven't been training dogs, you've been doing some speaking. Where have you been this year, and what have you been telling folks?
You know, I wrapped up most of the speaking stuff in October, and then I made an exception for November. I did one there. Then I made another exception for December, and then I cut them off. But I think I did 23 events this summer, everywhere from Budapest to Toronto to all over the continental U.S. I was in Boston and in Dallas, Texas, California a couple times, D.C., just bouncing around, talking to a lot of different, usually rather large corporations, mostly on leadership, teamwork, innovation. Some lean strategies, you know, that seems pretty popular in companies. So, you know, we're just telling our story of the Iditarod and trying to let companies find where it fits with what they're doing. So I speak to what I know, and that's sled dogs.
Your daughter Annie is 6?
Yep.
So how old can you be when you do the juniors? Is that 14?
14, yeah. You know, somebody asked her recently if she was going to be a dog musher when she grew up, and she said, no, I'm going to be a princess when I grow up. You know, and I think that's the most important thing, that when I just hope that she finds something that she loves and she's passionate about, and that she has, you know, the drive to be the best that she can at that. And I honestly do not care if that's dog mushing or ballet. It really doesn't matter. It's just having something that you're passionate about. I think that's the important part.
Okay, are you watching anybody else on this trail this year?
Yeah, I'm watching everybody else on this trail. You know, there's 40 people in this room that have the ability to beat us, but we can't worry about all of them. We worry about our dogs, ourselves. And when we get to Caltag, you know, we'll see who's there. Maybe I'll be racing for 20th at that point. So it doesn't make any sense to waste our time now to speculate. It's kind of fun, but it's not going to change what we do. We're going to run our race, and we're going to see who we're racing. It could be Allie. It could be my dad. It could be Pete Kaiser. It could be a dozen different people. I mean, there's lots of good teams out there.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you under the Burled Arch in Nome.
I look forward to that, too.
Talking to Greg Casillo. How are you?
Excellent.
You have run this Iditarod 6 times. Your best time, 10 days, 16 hours, coming in 26 in 2014. But this is more than a race for you, isn't it?
It is, yeah. No, it's, 4 years ago I started a nonprofit called Battle Dogs, and I do a lot of work with combat veterans. And so we've kind of combined Iditarod with the work that we do with our veterans. And so this is our third year now, and we have, you see it on my left here, we got 6 combat veterans here. It's our third year doing our Iditarod camp, but we also provide camps throughout the summer as well. So basically, I mean, in a nutshell, we provide outdoor therapeutic recreational camps for our veterans.
And your wife's a combat vet. Is that how this came to be?
Actually, no. I wrote this program up 7 years ago, and I knew someday that I wanted to work with veterans. And 4 years ago, the timing was right. I had the platform, and I felt I would be able to do it justice. So it was the perfect timing in my life, and obviously it strikes home with me, with my wife being a veteran. She's deployed 8 times now, and so it definitely hits home. And, you know, together when I came up, told her the idea, she said, absolutely, let's do it. So, yeah.
Tell me some of the memorable moments that just stick out, if there are any.
Just those breakthrough moments. You know, our motto is helping our warriors one step at a time. And when you see them take those steps, it just gets better and better and better. And the thing with Battle Dogs is we create a family atmosphere. We're not a one-and-done kind of organization. I've brought guys back up here multiple times because they needed to get back up here. We're about restoring the brotherhood because that's what they miss. And with our organization, we're mission-based, so we try to give these warriors missions. I mean, I got them out in the dog yard shoveling poop. You know, they're changing the straw in the trucks and then out in the dog houses. So, but they love it, you know.
That's an essential mission.
It absolutely is. Very important. I mean, the other night I had them making necklines for the race. You know, so there's so many memorable moments. But when you see that click and they realize that, you know what, it is okay to take that step and come out of my shell and realize, you know, it's okay to come out and experience the world again. So,
give us the web address for Battle Dogs.
So it's battledogs.org, and dogs is DAWGS.
Hey, good luck, and we'll see you in Nome.
Appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the time.
What a great guy. What a great cause.
Absolutely. Battle dogs, what a remarkable story these people are, and the heart of these people. We always talk about the heart they have for the dogs and the passion for the Iditarod, but they have a heart for their community, and it's seen, it's just manifested in Rick Casillo and his wife, and especially for Alaska that's so appreciative, respectful of our men and women of the armed services. One thing we like to do is our favorite thing, Mike Ford.
Tall Alaskan tales, tall Alaskan tales. No good lying through your tooth, tall Alaskan tales.
Okay, well, this one here has to deal with good old Colonel Norman Vaughn. I was privileged enough to be involved with the serum run that Norman Vaughn was in, and I used to have lunch with Norman at Fletcher's once a month before Norman passed away for many years. And one of his most favorite stories that he'd tell me was about him one time he had borrowed a friend's dog truck. He lived in Trapper Creek at this time, and he borrowed his friend's dog truck from here in Anchorage to take his team back to Trapper Creek. And as Norman was driving out to Trapper Creek, Norman was a big eater, believe it or not. That man could put down the food. And when he got to Wasilla, he needed to get a bite to eat. So he pulled over at the restaurant, and he had to double up a dog in a box. And these dogs, when he would stop, would kind of get in a scuffle with each other. So he just didn't feel comfortable stopping to get something to eat. So he went on down the road, but he was starving. So the friend's dog truck that he borrowed in the front seat, they had some granola or some Gorp in the front seat. So he thought, well, I'll just eat some of that and replace this Gorp, you know, when I return his dog truck. So he's heading out to Trapper Creek, and he's eating this Gorp, and boy, was it dry. He says, this was the driest Gorp I've ever had. So he gets into Trapper Creek, and he calls his friend to say he made it okay, and thank you for, you know, let me use your truck. I'll get it back to you here soon. But he says, you know, I just had to tell you that that was the worst Gorp I've ever had my entire life. That was just so dry. He says, oh, my goodness, Norman, that was my lead dog's cremains, his remains. He was cremated the week before. So you had been eating my lead dog from Wasilla to Trapper Creek.
Oh, it's a marvelous adventure, a marvelous adventure, marvelous adventure on the trail to destiny.
Aaron, what's the answer?
It is true.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a great.
I forgot about that one. I forgot about that one. That's great stuff.
Isn't that great?
Oh.
It's. Oh. Hey, we're running out of time. What a great show. Mike, wonderful job on the interviews. And thanks to all the people who joined us. And we want to thank Neighbors Windows and Doors for sponsoring our show, because we get to champion the good news of Alaska and Alaskans. So now, Mike, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
Why, thank you, Uncle Steve. I'd be happy to. We want to thank all of the mushers, all the volunteers. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsor, Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts. From purchase to window installation, visit Alaska's Best, Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tuttle, or online anytime at Neighbors Windows and Doors. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guest, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your tooth to Alaska Tales, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week. Get out and watch the Iditarod, everybody.